As I was sharing with the children, if you look at currency from any country, the face of the coin or bill tells you a little bit about what that country has valued historically, and maybe also what it hopes to be. Although since the U.S. paper currency only has white men as a people on it to this date, I hope U.S. bills speak more to the country's historical values rather than their aspirational values or hopes for the future. I know the U.S. Treasury in 2016 had proposed a woman to go on the face of it. Do you remember who that was? Harriet Tubman, right, to go on the $20 bill. But it's pretty clear that that will not materialize anytime soon. It would be ironic, actually, since the figure currently on the $20 bill is that she would be replacing is a figure of Andrew Jackson, who was a slave owner. The double irony is that this country's economy was built on the backs of slave labor. That helped to establish the foundation from where our wealth would emerge. Some question whether then it would be an insult to Harriet Tubman, who as an abolitionist fought slavery and led the Underground Railroad to lead slaves out of their captivity and into their freedom. Would it be an insult to have her image as a face of a system she sought to abolish? As writer Feminista Jones put it, Harriet Tubman did not fight for capitalism, free trade, or competitive markets. She repeatedly put herself in the line of fire to free people who were treated as currency themselves. She risked her life to ensure that enslaved Black people would know that they are worth more than the blood money that exchanged hands to buy and sell them. I do not believe Tubman, who died impoverished in 1913, would accept the honor, says this writer. When the Pharisees and the Herodians asked Jesus whether it was legal for a man of God to pay taxes, it was a trap, like Ryan said. Between the Pharisees, who saw the pagan emperor as a threat to Jewish nationalism, and the Herodians, who protected the interest of empire and enjoyed its benefits, both a yes and a no answer would have been damning for Jesus. Instead, Jesus reframed the story, asking, whose hat and title is on the face of this coin? Give to the emperor the things that belong to the emperor, and give to God that which belongs to God. Poet Audre Lorde once wrote, "For the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. They may allow us to temporarily beat him at his own game, but they will never enable us to bring about genuine change." Jesus also let us know the tools of empire will not be the tools that build the peace of God here on earth. How many of you have heard of the street artist Banksy? Anybody? Banksy? Banksy is an artist or a collective of artists. People don't quite know who exactly Banksy is, who just like throws up paintings and murals on walls in urban areas that provide a social commentary. And there's a mural that Banksy painted in London of a man sitting on the curb with a cup, like he's begging for money, holding up a sign. But on the sign, it says, "Keep your coins. I want change." The story Jesus was trying to tell could not be told using the currency of empire. His story was one that would change the face of empire, and it would change the story of how people would come to know God. Jesus' story was priceless. And as we know, change often is not easy. So the changes that Jesus was bringing about were threatening to many. But the story Jesus was telling was already at work in God's relationship with Moses. When Moses asked to see God, God told him, "You cannot see my face and live, for no one shall see me and live." So instead, God gave Moses something more lasting than a face, more powerful than the coin of empire. God tucked Moses into the cleft of a rock, and then the kavod, which is Hebrew for glory, of God, passed over Moses. Moses, I believe, was changed in this encounter, and his leadership from there shifted from being a leader of a people who had been enslaved to becoming a leader of a people who would be free. Jesus' witness continued to reveal God's glory, or kabod, here on earth as he changed lives and changed culture. But like I said, change is not easy. People were not ready for new stories. They had figured out ways to play their roles in the stories that had been assigned to them, even when those roles and stories were not always very good ones. It causes me to take heart when I see people who have the courage to create a different story than the stories of empire, a different story than the stories of domination and oppression, a different story than the stories of isolation. It's taken much bravery for those who have stepped forward with the Me Too campaign. Have you heard about this? If you've missed it on social media, there has been a movement going around with this message. Me Too. If all the women and trans people who have been sexually harassed or assaulted wrote Me Too as a status, we might give people a sense of the magnitude of the problem. And I have noticed the swell of people who have added their names, stepping out and saying Me Too, whether on Facebook or Twitter, or in more personal interactions between people. It takes a lot of bravery, and not everybody who has a story is ready to share it. But people who have stepped out have been celebrities, congresswomen, people in this congregation. And as I have spoken to various women over this past week, everyone has agreed that this experience is unfortunately just about universal to women. There are some men out there, too, who have been assaulted, but speaking out goes against the bro code that demands macho behavior and invulnerability. No matter how many people have spoken up with a Me Too story, there has been far less acknowledgement of statements like, "It was me. I'm sorry. And here's what I will do to bring about change." But Jesus calls us to something higher than the stories we have become accustomed to, both individually and as a whole people of God. Men, women, all genders. The church reformers of 500 years ago and more sensed a story that was bigger than their own personal salvation, and bigger even than the established Roman Church. These reformers believed that God had yet more light to shine on our understandings of Scripture, on roles between clergy and laity, on how we live in response to God's call, on how we receive and ask for forgiveness, and even on how we might encounter God's glory. A phrase of some Protestant reformers was this: Ecclesia reformata semper reformanda, the church once reformed, always reforming. And so, we have been open to how the Holy Spirit has been called to change the church and continues to call the church to change ourselves and to change society. And so we come together in hopes of becoming part of that larger story. We do not have to play tired and outdated roles. We do not have to accept injustices as just the way the world goes. Right after this sermon, we will have a ritual of anointing and prayer for healing. You can come forward and receive this mark of oil on your head or on your hand if you prefer, a sign of God's anointing you to be both recipient of God's healing and agent for God's healing in the world. In that time, I invite you to pray for the changes you would like to see with your own healing and for the healing of others. Giving your money to the people whose pictures are on the money seems like a bad message to start our stewardship season out with. I think somewhere I have American dollars. Although I know with this congregation, your money literally is going all over the world, isn't it? Seems like a funny statement to make. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, give to God what is God's. And I'm all in favor of paying taxes for good schools and teachers, life-saving services, aid to the poor and those in need. The kind of services that actually didn't exist so much around Jesus' time to people who weren't of status. That money, that tax money in Jesus' time went primarily to enrich the emperor and those who served him. But what about the church? The truth is, the church can really use those checks and bills to tell a compelling and even transformative story through our education, our preaching, our music, our witness to the gospel, and our service to the community. The Roman coins of Jesus' day bore the image of the emperor. But as human beings created by God, we bear God's image, which means, if we keep the analogy going, that we owe God everything, our whole and entire selves. Let us put our own faces to the story God is writing with us and through us. This story did not end, my friends, with the closing of the Bible. God is not done yet, and needs us to be God's storytellers today and evermore. Thanks be to God. Amen.